Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. It's easy to find a reason to visit Lake Tahoe, and July 4th is one of the most popular reasons for tourists. Hundreds of thousands of people have been known to celebrate Independence Day across the Tahoe Basin. But along with festivities from one end of the lake to the other and across state line is a familiar downer come the morning of July 5th. All that trash that's left behind. For the past decade, the League to Save Lake Tahoe, also known as Keep Tahoe Blue, spends that morning cleaning up all the litter that's left behind. And this year, which is its 10-year anniversary, it set a record for the amount of trash that was picked up. More than 8,000 pounds, with one spot a particular eyesore. But the nonprofit says there's some good news within all of that litter. Darcy Goodman-Collin is the CEO of the League to Save Lake Tahoe, joined by volunteer Naomi Morgan. Good morning to you both.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Good morning, Vicky.
Good morning. Okay, Darcy, I want to start with you. Before we get into this year's record cleanup, let's start from the beginning. 10 years ago, why did this annual cleanup begin?
Such a great question. I started in my role as CEO about 11 years ago. So I'd been in the role and I realized that we had a litter problem, but beyond that, there weren't a lot of efforts for education. And so we really started the community-based cleanup program to educate in a way to engage our community, our visitors in the work that we were doing to keep Tahoe blue. And we realized that there was a lot more that we can do with that cleanup program. So we immediately started utilizing that program to collect data on what type of trash we were collecting. And that's something that's extremely important to the League to Save Lake Tahoe. All of our community-based programs, all of our citizen science programs collect data on for information to help us inform management decisions. So that first year, 10 years ago, we had over 100 volunteers, only a couple of sites. But we were able to start identifying what the trash issues were and what types of trash we were collecting and where. And we have used that information to inform and encourage and advocate for some really important policy decisions here in Tahoe.
When I think of, you know, pretty easy outreach or something that I see a lot, I think of that sticker, Keep Tahoe Blue, which is on businesses and vehicles. You know, how is that in line with the league's mission?
Well, a lot of people have that Keep Tahoe Blue sticker as the I Love Tahoe sticker. It's iconic. You could see it all over the world. And we're very grateful that that message has reached so many people. But not everyone knows that there is an organization behind that slogan and that it's an actual call, rallying call to action. And the intent is that we all need to keep Tahoe blue. In order to protect this lake, it takes everyone involved. And that's why our volunteers are so magnificent. They model behavior that we hope our community and our visitors alike will look at, will understand, and will replicate when they come to Tahoe.
All right, Naomi, that brings me to you. When did you become a volunteer?
Oh, gosh, that was back in 2013. I wanted to volunteer with the league because I wanted to give back to my community. I really wanted to keep Lake Tahoe clean and healthy so my family could enjoy it and so everyone else could as well.
Hmm. How has it been in the last, 10 years of doing this and taking part in the cleanups every July 5th?
It's been interesting. So when we first started cleaning up, there was a lot of trash out there, but it wasn't as bad as it has been recently. Just more and more people have learned how wonderful Lake Tahoe is and have definitely come to our area to enjoy the lake, but often they leave behind some things that should not be there.
Well, Darcy, then that brings me to this year, right? Because your nonprofit recorded more than 8,500 pounds of trash, and that was just over the course of 3 hours on the morning of July 5th. What locations did volunteers visit?
Well, this year was a bittersweet year because, as you mentioned, Vicky, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary of this event. And that's heartwarming because over that time, we've had so many volunteers come out to help us. But this year, we also experienced the largest amount of trash collected, partially because we had more volunteers than we've had, in years in the past. But also there was one site that was the largest culprit. So I think it's worth noting that of our different sites, we had 6 different sites around the lake. most of them had less trash than in previous years. So we are learning. We're working with our management land manager partners like the U.S. Forest Service and state parks, and we're learning how to provide the resources for our visitors so that they can model the right behavior. But there are some sites like this site in called Zephyr Shoals on the Nevada side of the lake that did have that large amount of trash. And it's likely that that area was the biggest culprit because we are getting better at managing the other sites. So that site doesn't have the management that some of the surrounding sites have and the restrictions. So the concentration of partygoers during the 4th of July, up here celebrating the 4th, one of the best places in the world, I must say, to celebrate, they got concentrated in that one area. And with the water levels very high this year, they were really concentrated. The beach size is much smaller, so they were all packed into that one area.
Are trash resources like garbage bins and management, such as like, you know, having staff, is it different on the California versus Nevada side?
It's not different because the entire basin is a collaborative. We have a collaborative relationship with all of the different agencies. So I wouldn't say there's a difference between the two states. We have the U.S. Forest Service manages over almost 80% of our land. So there's that consistency. However, some of the individual beaches are managed differently. And that one particular area did not have restrictions or regulations. The Forest Service did bring in more trash cans and other resources. So there was more infrastructure this year, but the regulation is not the same as it is in some of those managed areas.
Naomi, which location were you at?
I was at the Kings Beach location, which is in the north, towards the north side of Lake Tahoe.
Yeah. And how was it in the morning?
Actually, it wasn't horrible. There were some floating devices floating around there on the beach and in the water we were able to pick up. But the amount of trash was much less than what I have noticed in the last few years.
Darcy, can you explain how the Tahoe Basin acts like kind of like a giant granite funnel? That's how you've described it.
Yeah. One of the reasons why Lake Tahoe is so clear is it's a very small watershed. So that means that it drains a small amount of land into the lake, and the lake is over 70% of that actual surface area. So that is gives us an opportunity to have very clean water, but also anything that is on the land is going to make its way into the water pretty quickly. And that includes trash. So if there's litter upstream, it's likely it's going to make its way into the lake. And that's one of the reasons why our litter program is so important. If we can be the last line of defense for the lake and capture that litter, then we're protecting it from getting into the lake. Once it gets into the lake, it can turn into things like microplastic and be in that system for ages.
Yeah, because you don't even have to be a volunteer, you know, to just see the images of the trash that was left behind that your organization shared. I mean, it's just shocking and just striking that amount of trash was left behind, you know, overly on the Nevada side at Zephyr Shoals. I mean, on the one hand, it must feel like such a huge relief, you know, once it's cleared, like lifting all of that trash off of Tahoe. But how does it feel to initially take in what, you know, a lot of people just left behind?
It's such a bittersweet occurrence for me every year, because I get to the beaches in the morning and you're devastated. And then within 20 minutes, volunteers start showing up and you regain your faith in humanity, because there's individuals who've been coming to these cleanups for years. A lot of them are out of town. Naomi herself, she lives down in Reno. So it's not just locals that care about the environment and care about Lake Tahoe. And one interesting thing that happened this year that was slightly different than other years is that impressive image of that one beach that you've all probably seen with the trash. It looked like a landfill. We immediately started posting those pictures on social media. And we had maybe 20 volunteers that signed up for that site prior to participate in the cleanup. But immediately after posting those images, people started showing up. And we had almost triple the amount that originally signed up to help clean the beach. Mm-hmm. And the Forest Service, who owns and manages that area, they did increase their resources that day as well. So they had a bunch of their team helping clean up. So it was a joint effort. And the message that got out, I'm hoping, is what's lasting. Those images, sure, they stick in your mind, but the images of the volunteers showing up and the camaraderie and how much people love the lake and want everyone to do their part to protect it. That's what I'm hoping the message is moving forward.
You know, Naomi, you're one of the volunteers. You're also, you know, a steward when you're not volunteering, you know, just acting in good behavior, you know, that benefits the lake. How does this type of volunteer work that you've committed to shape your understanding of why people leave litter and trash behind?
I think often it's an accident for a lot of people. Often they're distracted by other things. I don't think people do it on purpose, but I'm not sure how much of the messages that they get as children and adults gets through to them that they really do need to keep the land clean and the waters clean. I mean, I even remember when I was a kid, there was Woodsy the owl who would let us know, pick up your litter. Otherwise, you know, it'll be a mess. So it's been ingrained in me from a young age, but I don't know about now in the current age how much they hear about it, except from places like the League.
Darcy, when it comes to how trash and litter has evolved over the last 10 years that you've been doing these cleanups, what are kind of like the worst things that you can overlook and leave behind?
One of our biggest trash culprits are cigarette butts. We've had a huge cigarette campaign over the course of the 10 years. It's easy. I think it's easy to think of the beach as an ashtray. So, and it's hard. Those things are easy to lose and they get ingrained into the sand and not picked up when people leave. So we have a special program in which we are collecting and learning about where the biggest issues are for cigarette butts. And then during our cleanups, we also take all the cigarette butts we collect and get them recycled. And we started putting up messaging and cigarette canisters around the lake. So that's been helpful. But some of the cigarettes we're collecting are historic because you get down there and they've been there for a while. Then we've also collected all different types of plastic. That's probably our tied for cigarette butts, one of the biggest culprits. And the data that we've been collecting, that our volunteers have been collecting on the types and amount of plastic, have been instrumental in policy changes here in Tahoe. We first got the city of South Lake Tahoe to pass the ban on the single-use plastic bag sale, and then styrofoam as well. And then most recently, the city of South Lake Tahoe passed a ban on the sale of single-use plastic water bottles, actually one of the first in the state of California to do that. And I truly believe that those things wouldn't have happened if we didn't have the data to show that it was an issue. Because when people come to Tahoe, unless it's immediately after the 4th of July, it's pristine. And that's what people remember. So sometimes it's hard to understand that there really still is a problem. And so the data and then the volunteers as advocates have helped us make some really strong and progressive moves up here in Tahoe to protect the lake.
Yeah, even something small like a cigarette butt or maybe like a cocktail straw, you know, I mean, those are some of the hardest things or stubborn things to pick up.
Exactly. And then those degrade and become microplastic. And we're finding there are microplastics in Lake Tahoe. And if they're in Lake Tahoe, that means they're everywhere. But what can we do on the land side to prevent plastics getting into Tahoe?
Well, Darcy and Naomi, thank you for the time.
Thank you so much.
Very much.
Darcy Goodman-Collin is the CEO of the League to Save Lake Tahoe, also known as Keep Tahoe Blue, joined by volunteer Naomi Morgan. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.